Life is made up of choices. What's interesting is that with every choice that we make, it unlocks more possibilities of choices. If we make one decision, then there's more choices that are made. But if we weren't to make that decision, we couldn't have other choices beyond that. When I was growing up, one of the first games that we started to play, I was talking to my sister last night. She said, no, actually, we played it. You were a party pooper because you don't play games, which is true. I'm not a board game guy. But they would always play the game of life. Did any of you ever play the game of life? Now, I got more interested when it went from being a board game to on CD-ROM. How many of you remember a CD-ROM? Some of you are like, is that a CD? Yes, that is a CD. And you used to plug it into your one home computer, which was like mind blown. Computers only were at school. You got special time in the computer lab when you were good. If you weren't good, you didn't get time in the computer lab, and we didn't get to play the game of life. We played the Oregon Trail from like 1970-something. But when the game of life went on a computer, then all of a sudden I was interested. If you've ever played the game of life, it starts you after all the choices have already been made for you, after the first part of your life where you're learning the necessary tools to make the right choices. And one of the first choices you get in the game of life is either college or career. And I remember the voice, college or career. And depending which one you chose, you would go a little bit further, and then you would have three options of the jobs that you would take. And of course, we always took the job that made the most what? Money. Now, if you went into career, there was only a certain number of jobs you could choose from, because some things require a college degree. But the same is also true that if you went in the college choice, that you couldn't get some of the same jobs that you could as and the career choice, because every choice unlocks another possibility. You know what's interesting to me about that game? A very simple principle that we can find in God's Word is that you and I, even in that game of life and even in real life, we do not get to choose whether or not we work. We get to choose the kind of work that we do. We can choose the job, we can choose the task, we can choose the occupation, but we do not get a choice in whether or not we work. Because work is the call of God upon our life. One of the very first things God ever gave us in the Garden of Eden was work to do. So work is God's call to us, and when we begin to work in different capacities and different ways, not all work is paid work, by the way. There's different kinds of work. There's different reasons sometimes that we can work more or work less. But we're all called to work, and our activity of working is actually our response back to God's call to work. I want you to think with me. The first time you remember thinking as a child what it was you wanted to be or do when you grew up. The very first dream you had for a job. You have it? Now the second question is, why did you choose that dream? My guess is that when you think about the why that job, it began somewhere around a word named purpose. Perhaps one of the first things you wanted to do was you wanted to be a teacher because of the teacher that was influencing you in your life. Perhaps you wanted to be a superhero because you saw them on TV and you wanted to make a difference just like they were making a difference. And you're always cool when you're a superhero. But it began somewhere around purpose. Now, if you were like my wife, her first dream job was to dig up dinosaur bones. My first dream job was to be an NBA basketball player by day and an artist by night. No mind the fact that NBA never plays during the day, and I have no artistic ability at all. Never mind any of that. Somewhere along the line, it began somewhere with some sort of purpose, and here was the purpose. You believed in some sort of gift, some sort of talent, some sort of passion that was inside of you, that you said, I can make a difference in that line of work. somewhere along the line. It may look different, but you say, I think I would have something to offer there. What's interesting is that as time begins to progress, somewhere along the line in life's journey, we move from working for a purpose to working for a profit. Not just for the money, but something happens where we're no longer in it for what we can do for the work. We're in it because of what the work can do for us. But we never started out that way, did we? We always started out, we would job shadow somebody. And the more we were on the outside of this dream job looking in, we thought, man, whenever I get on the inside of that job, I know what I'm going to do. I know the difference I'm going to make. And the passion just kind of starts to get a little bit of fuel. But we never ask the question, I wonder what that job can do for me someday. Kids don't ask that. Then as we begin to progress, and perhaps you went straight into your career, you went into college, you learn all of these things about how to do your job from the outside looking in. You ever notice how nice work looks when you're on the outside of it looking in? And you think again, man, I know that when I have that position, I know the things that I'm going to do. And from the outside, you're like, I'm all about the purpose. I can contribute something to this work. Oh, the work is bigger than me, but I can see where it's been. I understand where it's going. And I think I can just help move it along and make more out of this and make a big difference in the world. Until we got on the inside of work. And we started looking to the outside. And we bring in all of our dreams and all of our desires. We bring with us the purpose that we feel like is in our soul and in our hearts. And we may even be respectful and we give people time. And then when our opportunity is, we put it out there what we want to do. And you know what our superiors and even our coworkers do? They jump on it and they squash it like a bug. And all of a sudden you're on the inside of work. And you fight for a little bit, don't you? To keep your passion. To keep your purpose. But eventually that flame goes out. And you got to find another reason to work. So you start looking around and you start seeing the profit. Not just the money you can make, but you start seeing what work can do for you. Because here's the thing, what you understand is that when we get inside of work, there's always superiors who are constantly wanting something from us, but they're never interested about giving anything back to us. If you are a superior, don't do that. It's a two-way street. And so what we say is, you know what, they're in it for what they can get out of it. I'm going to be in it for what I can get out of it. And I want to tell you, this shift never happens intentionally. It kind of does, but it's one of those shifts that happens that you don't really know what happens until you get past it and you can look back at your life and you can see, oh, that's where my thinking started to shift. It's like you're moving in the slow lane and you put on your turn signal and all of a sudden you get out in the fast lane to pass all of those slow pokes who think that you can actually make a difference in your job and you're going to get into the fast lane of the American dream. And somewhere we lose our purpose for the profit. Instead of saying, what can I do for the work? We start asking the question, what can the work do for me? If this is true, and I believe it to be true at some point in every career path and every kind of work, whether that work is paid or unpaid, we start to question our purpose. We lose sight of our purpose. I want you to know that you and I both are headed for a destination of dissatisfaction in any kind of work that we do. You can volunteer and not even get paid. And I can tell you that when this shift happens, work will never be enough. It will always dissatisfy you. If you're in that fast lane today or ever found yourself in that fast lane, you're in good company. You're in the company of Solomon. He was the wisest guy to ever live that didn't have divine powers, which was Jesus himself. So Jesus, and then when it comes to wisdom, I'd put Solomon right behind there. He was really wise. And he starts asking in the book of Ecclesiastes, beginning in chapter 1, verse 3, and then chapter 3, verse 9. He asks kind of the same question. What do people gain? The translation is, what is their profit from all of their labors? In other words, when a worker works, what do they get for it at the end of the day? What do they get for it at the end of the week? At which they toil under the sun. What can a worker do? What can a worker do for the work, but what does the worker do? The work do for the worker. Here are the profits that he goes through. Here's what you gain when you try and view work this way. Chapter 2, verse 17, he says, you'll gain grief. Have you ever experienced grief in your work? Chapter 2, verse 20, despair. You ever been discouraged and felt despair in your work? Paid or non-paid. You ever felt anxiety in your work? You ever felt pain in your work? You ever felt like your work was endless, the to-do list never ends, and the husbands say, oh, they're too scared. Amen. I add to my own to-do list, don't I, honey? She adds to it too, but I add to it. Just feel like the work is never done. You'll find dissatisfaction in chapter 6, verse 7, when you're trying to get something out of work instead of us doing something to the work. But then in chapter 9, verse 10, he really encourages us. He says, but all of this is greater than death itself, because he didn't have the view of afterlife that we did, because he would claim that where we were going, we didn't get to work, so it's at least better to work than to be dead. Wow, Solomon. That's like great words of wisdom. That's some encouragement. Let's go home. You see, something happens when we make this shift from what we can bring to the work instead of what, and we make it to what the work can do for us. And I think sometimes we're forced into that. I think the way that companies operate in today's world is most of the time when we make that shift, it's out of a defense mechanism, a response to them doing that to us. But somewhere when we find ourselves along this path, we lose sight of our purpose. Because here is my guess. How many of you are doing right now the very first thing you ever dreamt of doing as a child? Anybody? Yeah? There may be a few. Most of us, the first thing we dreamt of doing, we're not doing now. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I can tell you some of mine. I just am not athletic enough at all to be an NBA basketball player. So flat out talent and abilities. I can tell you the reason that I maybe never ended up a doctor or a lawyer. I'd never had the intelligence to operate like that. So some things that we wanted to be, we grow up and realize, you know what, that's just not where our gifts, that's not where our natural abilities are. But I think the greater crime is not that we didn't end up being what we dreamt of being as a kid, but I think it's the fact that we've lost sight of the purpose, the reason for which we wanted to do things and our job, and something happened along the way where we shifted from not what we can do for the work, but what the work can do for us. So if this is true, if this is where we're at, what are some signs? I want to give them to you before I move on. There's a couple, but I think I just want to give you one. When changes happen at work, change happens in you. So when we're on this path of what work can do for us, what profit is there in for us instead of what purpose can we have in the work that's happening, when changes happen at work, something changes inside of us. You see, at some point when we work for the paycheck, and by the way, this is not a bad thing. We make it out to be a bad thing. Sometimes people are working for a paycheck so you can provide for your families. You may not be in the job you want to be, but it puts food on the table. And now in today's world, you're able to have enough insurance. You can send them to the doctor when they're sick and you're not worried about mortgaging your house again. I'm not picking on that. But when we're looking at work and what we can get out of it, and we put the paycheck number one, because I think most of us do that. If we could make a little bit more money doing the exact same thing that we're doing, would it not at least entice us to think about doing it? I think it entices most people, but here's what happens. When you feel like a promotion is coming your way and you get overlooked for that promotion, when it's about getting out of them what you feel entitled to, it not only makes you angry inside, that's a normal reaction, but something happens where you're no longer satisfied in your job. When you had a good health insurance plan and all of a sudden they want to change health insurance plan and it's not as good as it once was, and it doesn't just make us angry, it doesn't just make us frustrated, but all of a sudden we're done with that job, we just kind of push it away and we check out. You see, something is changing right here inside of us. When something changes in our retirement, and some of you aren't even thinking about retirement, but you need to be, and you realize that not as much is going in as what they promised would go in, and the change happens in that. Something changes in us, and all of a sudden we say we're not satisfied in our job anymore. And you know what we'll do most of the time? We'll look for another job. We'll look for another work that hopefully satisfies us in some way. But here's what I want you to know, that when we are constantly trying to get out of work what benefits us, we will always be dissatisfied. And we will move from job to job to job, never finding satisfaction in the work God has called us to. Can I give you a bit of advice? The question should never be, when a job opportunity arises, should I go? Does God want me to go? Here's what the question should be. Does God want me to stay? Because what happens is that when you get a job opportunity, you start comparing all the things you're not satisfied with to all the things that you think a new job will satisfy you in, and will always chase bigger and better and more, only to find out, you know what bigger and better actually represents? Bigger and better stress. The bigger the size of the operation, you know, all these problems you feel like you're having now, they're there too. They're just multiplied by the number of people that you'll be associated with. But the question is this where God has called me? And I want to tell you something. When God has called you to a place and a time, and you are reminded of the purpose, that call of God upon your life sustains you in the seasons that you never thought you could endure. One of the greatest pieces of advice my pastor, my mentor, and my dear friend ever gave me going into ministry, and I believe it applies to every job, paid or non-paid, that we have, every bit of work. Jonathan, you need to know whether or not you're called. Because if you are not called, you will never stay. There's another bit of advice I've added to it that I've learned. It's not just about a calling to a certain career. It's also about a calling to a certain place and time. The question is, God, are you done with me where I'm at? And if you feel like that, I want to tell you, He will confirm over and over and over again. He will release you to go on to the next thing. But if you try and apply for job after job after job and you get rejected and rejected and rejected, you know what? Sometimes that answer is, God is saying, I'm not ready to move you just yet. You know what He's trying to shift in us? A shift not from profit out of work, what we can get out of work, but He's reminding us that ultimately, when we are working unto the Lord. And we are being called unto Himself. And it's about what we can do to get inside of the work and to help propel it forward. Solomon continues in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he talks about what happens when we realize that we can't gain what we thought we would gain. There's dissatisfaction. Chapter 10, verse 8. Then we start counting the cost of what we do. He says, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Do you know what the purpose of them digging a pit was for? Was for someone to fall into it. Preferably an animal. It was one of their hunting techniques. So what's interesting to me is that you dig a pit so that someone would fall into it, but you're not supposed to be the one to fall into it. And all of a sudden, when you realize I can't get what I wanted to get out of work, we start counting the cost of how much we're having to give. And nobody notices. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. In ancient times, and even today, but especially then, you know where snakes often hid was in the walls. They would get in a crack. And so the idea is that if you're not careful, when you break down a wall, there'll be a snake ready to bite you. But here's what happens. We say, you know what? The cost is too great to keep doing what I'm doing, to accomplish the purpose to which I'm called. And we say, I'm not going to break down that wall. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever carries stones just may be hurt by them. So I'm not going to carry them. Go back one, please. Can't go back a slide. There we go. Thank you. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. So we just decide we'll not fulfill the purpose because it's too much of a cost or risk to us. Verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. If a snake bites before its charm, the charmer receives no fee. This seems like a strange passage in Ecclesiastes. Agreed? Sometimes that's why I pick it. I like the strange things. He's talking about foolish workers. And he's talking about what happens when we realize there's nothing to be gained from our work and labor. We start counting the cost. But then what did he say at the very end? He said, skill will bring success. Skill will bring success. I believe skill to be something that is God-given inside of us. I believe it's a gift. I believe it has to be developed, but I do believe it's something that we bring into a job. There are gifts and abilities God has given you that He's not given me, and vice versa. But when you understand that you bring something into a job, and it's not about what you can get out of the work, it's about what you can do for the work, there will be success. Now, he gives this strange example about a snake. How many of you hate snakes with a passion? Some of you already checked out. You're not even going to listen to the rest of it, are you? Now, a snake charmer did a couple of things. The first was if you found a snake in an unwanted place, you would call a charmer in, and the charmer would have its fee. But a snake doesn't have ears on the outside. The way a snake hears is by little sensories inside of its head, the way the bone structure and everything is, so that it responds to vibrations, it responds to sound. So what a snake charmer would do is a snake charmer would start to play music and it would catch the snake's attention long enough to perk up and have attention upon the charmer so that the snake could then be caught and corralled and removed. Now eventually, like all things, you realize that you can use this as an entertainment type of orientation. And that's what they did too, is that they would travel around and they say, hey, you want to see a trick? Yeah, I want to see. Yeah, you got to pay for it. Pay me a fee and I'll show you the trick. And so they would start to play their music, and it helps when you have the same snake and you're hopeful that you can get its attention by the vibrations. It's a skill that they brought to the work. And yet here's the thing. If you lose your purpose, if you don't bring your skill to the work that you do, the snake will bite before the music ever plays and you lose sight of all your purpose. What am I trying to get at today? I've been repeating it over and over and over. Some of you are in tough places to work. To be completely honest, the job just stinks. It may be the people you work with. It may be the company you work for. It may be that you want out of the job that you're in, but you can't get out of it yet. And I think what happens at some point is that we view work the same way that America views work, is that it has become all about the mighty dollar. But beneath that, there's another principle. It's about what they can get out of us. And so we want to return it with what we can get out of them. And before there was ever a profit to work, I want to remind you that God gave you a purpose to work. I want to remind you that whatever it was that you started in it for a reason. And I'm calling us to find that purpose again. I hope I don't embarrass anybody. I'm thinking, and I think of you often, a stay-at-home mom. And I think, how in the world does a message like this apply to a stay-at-home mom? Are there days that you ever get frustrated? Ever days you just want to throw in the towel for a little bit and say, I just need a break? Absolutely. But there was a reason. There's probably multiple reasons you wanted to be able to stay at home. And somewhere along the line, it's so easy to count all the cost, all the sacrifices that she has to make. But at some point, we always come back to the purpose to which we're called. Because there is a time right now in her life with her kids that she won't get back. And so she's giving all that she can give to it. Not because the profit always outweighs the cost. A lot of times it does, and I'll tell you in the end it does. But we can't lose sight of it. Wade, I think of you. I remember having this conversation a few weeks ago with your wife, Carrie. We were talking about, Wayne works for True Green Lawn Care. They make your lawn look really, really pretty and nice. Wayne, how long have you worked there? 12 years. And you've had opportunities to look for different jobs or go to different jobs, haven't you? I know one opportunity sitting in that row beside you, I was told, that about 10 or 12 years ago, she tried to get you to go into the bank, to start working in banks, and all along the way. But as Karen and I were talking, I banked this away. There's a reason he stays in the job that he stays in. Are you a millionaire? That's my way. I know we've talked about there's not always a bunch of excess money in it. But do you know why he does what he does? Because he's able to do one of two things. To coach, which he loves, and to be at his kids' events as much as he can. Sometimes the purpose is not always found just in the exact occupation you have, but in the opportunities that that occupation can give you elsewhere. I use those as two examples, not because they would want me, they didn't even know I was going to do it, if you can't tell, to raise them up on a pedestal. It's to say, in normal, everyday jobs and positions, there's always a purpose to which God calls us, and we have to come back to the purpose, because we live in a world that always wants us to count the profits, the gains and the losses. And I want to show you something. I'm almost done. Something beautiful that happens when we do this thing. I was reminded, I thought, okay, I need to at least mention Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving. Don't you think that's a good idea on Thanksgiving Sunday? I love the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I love John's account of the story of the feeding of the 5,000. He sees the crowds and they had been there all day, and he turns to one of his disciples and he says, what are we going to do to feed them? And the Bible says that he already knew the answer, but he was just testing them to say, and one said, I don't know, send him away. The other said, you know what, we have a little boy. He has 5 loaves of bread, and he's got 2 fish. And he took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. He gave thanks. He broke it. Thanksgiving always comes before the breaking. Thanksgiving always comes before the blessing. Sometimes we have to praise in advance of the promise that God is going to do in our life. Oh, that's good, but I got to keep moving. And they passed it out. And I want you to go back and look at how much was left over. 12 basketfuls. There was more left over than what the little boy started with. Now let me help you. If the little boy had given his lunch based upon what he could have got out of it, he never would have gave it, because he would have said one of two things. Jesus, I'll give you my lunch, but you got to do something cool for me. Walk on water, heal my family, whatever you want to do, Jesus, but just do something cool. Make me a king, I don't know. Make me a superhero, perhaps this 12-ish little boy might have asked. He might have asked, Jesus, I'm not going to give you my lunch, because what about me? Who's going to feed me? Do you see it? You start counting what he could have got out of it. If he would have based it upon what he got out of it, he never would have gave it to begin with. But when he gave it, he realized that his work was to give what he had to give, even though it wasn't enough. That's how you feel, isn't it? Your work isn't enough. It doesn't satisfy, but anyway, you just say, God, I don't really understand how this contributes to the kingdom, but I know you've called me here. It's a tough place. I'm going to stay here until you move me, give me another opportunity. I'm just going to kind of throw it out there and say, here you go, I'm going to give it to you. is not about what I can gain, but somehow your purpose is going to be accomplished. When you want to let me in on the purpose occasionally, I'll be looking, but you got to tell me. Occasionally, just remind me. And we give it in. And when we do, that's the place of thanksgiving. You see it? We start thanking God because we say, you know what? The job, the work isn't everything I want it to be, but He has given me a passion, a purpose inside of my soul. And I'm going to focus on that purpose and passion. I'm going to thank God because He's able to take skills and abilities that are never enough to do what He needs to do. And He multiplies it so much that when we're done, people look back and say, oh my goodness, can you see what God has done? It's amazing to me in the feeding of the 5,000 that when we think about it, the first thing we think about is how Jesus multiplied the bread and not where He got it. You know why that is? It's because when you give just a little bit, we get lost in the greater story of the One who does so much more than we could ever dream or imagine. You see what happens when we don't give into the world and we go against the culture and you say, you know what, I know this place is out to try and take advantage of me and I won't let them run over me, but I also know that my God has called me here. I know that the work of God that He wants to accomplish in their lives, it will come through me. You may be the only Christian in your job. That probably means you're going to be there for a while until you get some more. Because He's not only called us to a work, He's prepared us in advance for the work. Ephesians 2:10. But by the grace of God, when He breathed His last breath on the cross, He completed the work. It is finished. And all we are in our purpose is we are delivery truck drivers of taking His completed work and translating it into the places that we work. You know what UPS does this time of year? FedEx does this time of year. They hire extra workers. The product has already been made in advance. It's been prepared. Somebody orders it and has to pay the price for it. And then somebody has to deliver it. Can I tell you the work of God in this world has already been prepared in advance of the world. He knew everything that would ever happen in the world and He just sat back and say, okay, 2018, I know what's going to happen, so I'm going to make my plan and be able to use that to accomplish this. Got it. Oh, I got to pay a price for that? I'll send my Son Jesus. I'll give it all and I'll pay the price for it. It's paid in full. Oh, I need to deliver it to people in the world? I'll just use the people I made. Because here's the thing about your gifts, your abilities. You're able to take, I hope, even if it's not what I say, you get to the Word of God. You find principles in the Word of God. You translate them into the context that you're in and you're able to communicate it. I hope, teachers, I hope you're able to find a way to present the gospel in every lesson that you give. You never have to mention the name of Jesus, but you can present principles from His Word. You translate it in a way that it's putting in there. I hope that when you work in your factories, I hope you're able to find a way. You know what? You have to figure out how to lead people, don't you? You know what? The Bible says a lot about how to be a good shepherd because He was, and we take it and we translate it and we put these principles in, and you know what will happen? God will bless it and God will multiply it and God will do such a great work in it that you can be assured you are always a part of something that is greater than you that will point to all of eternity and it will point to Jesus. You may feel like you're at a very minimal job. You may feel like you're up here. You may feel like you're somewhere in the middle. I want you to know there's no hierarchy in the workplace with God. There's no salary package. There's no seniority. God just wants us to be willing and say, God, it's all for Your purpose. Whatever You do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. The glory of God, it's evidence of His presence. May the work we do, may the places we work, may it always be places where people say there is evidence that the presence of God is there. I don't know how, I don't even know where, I don't know how it works, I just know something is different when I go there. Oh God, would You do it? Would You do it?